I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, roll call. We have everybody here, and I want to welcome Charles, new council member. Thank you for stepping up and getting involved. We appreciate that. Also, tonight I'd like to introduce our new assistant chief, since Chief Steve is gone for 3 weeks. So, David, you want to stand up? And there's our new assistant chief. So, thank you very much. From what I hear, they ran him through some pretty hard, grueling, I don't know what all you guys did, but I heard it was pretty much fun. So, but we appreciate you stepping up and being willing to take command of things when Steve's gone and stuff and get involved. So, thanks, Dave. Okay, citizens' input. That is for anybody in the audience that would like to address the council on council matters. If you raise your hand, I'll acknowledge you and you come up. Okay, Janelle, you want to come up and introduce yourself and your address?
Janelle Anderson, 559 South Country Lane, actually out of town. I'm here representing the Chamber of Commerce as the new chamber president. And I'm hoping you all got the copy of the letter that we sent. I'll just pull that up there. So as you can see, we are a new chamber board and presidency, just recently stepped in. And as our treasurer, new treasurer, has been able to go through the books, we found some entertaining numbers in there. We realize that the chamber has not been running in the black, and that is our goal, is to make it definitely run in the black. And we have severely cut our budget and decided as a board that we are not going to do anything we cannot afford. So as we have done this, though, we realized that the 4th of July is definitely something in there that would not be in our budget, in our current budget. And I'm going to defer budget numbers to my treasurer, but I'm going to tell you a little bit more about some of the things also with 4th of July. So there's budget issues with the fireworks section of the 4th of July, and also manpower issues with the fireworks part. Last year, the scheduled security fell through at the last minute, and they ended up using the chamber president and chamber manager, which was very difficult. They shared with us that they could not contain the people. The people would not listen to them, and they breached security many times, and they felt really bad, but there was only so much that they could do in asking. They got the language issue came in there and all kinds of things. So those are two issues that we are talking about tonight with the chamber, or with the council, is funding and then manpower also for the 4th of July fireworks section. So that is where we're at. Do you have any questions in regards to the letter? In reading the letter, you can see that we're asking for $6,000 to do the fireworks out of the reserve that the city has. We realize that we don't have the funds, and if we aren't able to get this from the city council, there won't be fireworks at the 4th of July this year, because we have vowed to not go in the hole again. So that's where we're at, and we would need a decision tonight on it, as it is getting, actually, we're behind the gun in getting things planned and prepared, as this is when our term started, and normally the previous would have made some decisions and aligned some companies, vendors, to come in for the 4th of July. So.
I guess, so you're already at the end of your limit that we have to get somebody signed up, is that what you're saying?
Traditionally, they say, from what I'm told, vendors are usually gotten in February for the 4th of July. And we may actually be at an advantage this year before that, where 4th of July falls on a Sunday. And our town has traditionally done a lot of those events on Saturday the 3rd. We might actually, this may play into a good side for us if we end up doing the 4th of July on the 3rd of July That's something that we're definitely looking into, and we may need to do that for the secondary reason of getting a vendor to come and do that. I know we've done it with, I know the city's done it with Halloween, and I was told it was done one other time with the 4th of July festivities.
I believe we're giving $2,500, as it is?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're looking for another $6,000 on top of that?
No, I'm going to defer all money to our treasurer.
Okay. I didn't realize Mike was a treasurer.
Mike Beardsley, treasurer for the chamber.
Okay.
Put that hat on tonight. I just wanted to mention that the chamber at this point does not have any cash reserves. The new leadership that we have, though, I think is doing a good job of getting our arms around this. And, you know, in the past, the chamber has gone into major events like the 4th of July without the cash to do it and struggled to put it all together. But, you know, today's cash balance is $935. So we expect to be in the black going forward, but the current projection, the new projection that I just finished, indicates that we'll have $3,000 in the bank at the end of the year. However, we will not do any advertising and we'll do no new events because obviously we've got the need to collect on dues, membership dues. And Kathy Lomax did a good job on the budget, particularly on the cost side, but I think the revenue side was overstated. We're very happy with the support that we're getting right now from the city. The chamber is the largest benefactor, followed by the old hotel. And that's when we get the city tourism dollars, of which there are 56,000. We're getting $14,173 out of that pot. And the chamber and the old hotel are getting 43% of the pot. So, you know, that's very helpful. We do appreciate that. I'd like to remind you, too, that the chamber and the old hotel are the only benefactors out of the 11 of us who are operating year-round. So the money that you give us to support our operation works for you 12 months out of the year. The initial funding of $14,173 is 32% of our total costs, estimated at $44,000. So it is a sizable contribution in that regard. But the fact of the matter is, we're not adequately funded to do a good job. We've got to create additional revenues, and we're working on that. The problem that we face right now is that we cannot walk into the 4th of July without having the fireworks covered. We can go after the rest of the program, and we can do a nice job on that. We just cannot take that risk. We just don't have any reserves to fall back on. We can't borrow the money, and we can't encumber the chamber without knowing that we're going to pay that. So, fortunately, we had the good sense to go visit Eamon with the problem right after our budget meeting to just let him know what we were facing. And he suggested that we come before you and give the city an opportunity to support the 4th of July celebration and give us a year to rebuild our organization and reestablish what our priorities should be. So it's not that we mean to push you into a corner or anything, but right now the chamber is not going to do 4th of July fireworks without support from the city, only because we don't have the money to do it. So I appreciate your consideration here. I think that you can look forward to more good news from the chamber in the future. As I get more involved in the chamber, I can appreciate how much more they do than I ever thought they did. We want to beef up the organization, do a better job anticipating events. The annual banquet was another situation where we got behind schedule, but we pulled that off nicely. In fact, we beat our budget. We actually had more revenue than the budget called for, and our costs were under budget. So with this new group and you know, a lot of drive behind it, you know, we've been able to do pretty well, but you can't start from $935 and take any risks at this point, and that's what we're facing. So I
say we appreciate the chamber. You know, I would appreciate also maybe if the chamber, go ahead, Jeanette, would come on one of our workshops, maybe educate us.
Well, that was going to be one of our things, was we would like to schedule another time to get on the agenda to see how we can work more fluidly with the city council and how we can better. I've got a list of ideas and programs and whatnot that to tackle and to work businesses together, but this is kind of our fire at the moment, literally.
And I appreciate the fireworks show. I'm doing it myself because I just got one block off the park. So I watch it from my backyard and everything. My question, I guess, is we as a city have some huge projects this year that cost a lot of money. And have you thought about how you can maybe get some of this money brought in and maybe come to us at a later date? Is the $2,500 to begin with part of the $6,000?
Where is the $2,500 coming from? That's a new number for me.
Mike, am I right? We have $25 in our budget to donate to the fireworks.
We have budgeted that, I think, the last 3 years. I know for sure the last 3 years.
But we just looked that up today. And so there is $2,500.
Yeah, that's a new number to us. We didn't have.
Okay, so in that case, we would be asking for $6,000 plus $2,500.
Okay, that's what I was trying to find out.
Total of $6,000.
So have you considered the option of putting jars through the businesses, people donate, and stuff like that? You know, trying to see how the citizens jump in on this or advertising it?
We've done a lot of that recently with the awards banquet. And we're a little concerned about the number of requests that businesses get in this town for any number of other things that go on. Our campaign right now is to just get our billings out and collect our dues. We're happy to find that Grace is going up and down Main Street and informing people about the beautification committee and that coming up has encouraged about 5 businesses to join just in that activity. So getting Grace more involved, of course, we only ever have time when we're paying her enough, but getting somebody like Grace more empowered and better paid and getting membership up, I think will do wonders. But there is a very definite camp in this town that says, what's the chamber doing for us? They just don't realize what it's doing. It's doing a lot more than maybe what they individually are thinking of. And that's the message that we have to get out. Because it really is doing quite a bit. And I think the chamber really is working in the best interest of the city. I think the city is going to be very favorably oriented towards the chamber when they realize how much goodwill Grace Kelly creates out there into those individual businesses. And like I should say, she's done wonders in the neighborhood. But right now, we should have a reserve. So we're going from about $1,000. We've got to get another $6,000 to till, plus get $6,000 more from the city so we can put on a decent fireworks display. And that's better than last year. And be in a position to go in a proactive way after these events in a very controlled fashion.
So we're talking about $12,000 in total? Is that what we're talking?
No. What we're talking about from the city to get us through the 4th of July celebration is $6,000.
And then you guys are putting in six?
Well, we're going to be generating revenues from some of the events. There's not a lot to be gained here. So it's basically going to be collecting dues and putting in our reserves. The $6,000 basically is going to cover the fireworks only. And it's up to us to figure out ways to generate more revenue to build up the reserves we don't have so that we're better able to fund these events. And we've had vendors take a small portion of the total revenue expected to jump to pay for the rest. That's not a good way to do this.
I know as far as the council for a long time, we've been getting the amount we've been donating smaller and smaller with the idea of hopefully the business would pick it up. You know, that's been our goal as a council. We have new members here that don't know that, but some sort of educating right now. But
the fact of the matter is,
It's not once a month.
So I think we're on a rocky slope.
I was thinking of a different mic on the view of having jars that make the fireworks by the customers. A lot of customers will throw the change, and who knows, maybe not $2,000 and so forth. And I mean, get the citizens involved.
But that's the other problem.
For those that don't know, Grace Shelby is our manager as a chamber board.
I guess Ken spoke up on that. Or Mark, sorry, he's been pointing.
Slave child. First of all, the public entrusted and the city entrusted your entity to have the management and finances for the fireworks. And on our centennial year, 3 months before the event, you're coming to us and saying there's no money available.
Welcome to my world.
The only thing worse would be that if you gave us an ultimatum that said, give us money tonight or we're not doing it. So we're right now, worst case scenario. I don't know where you got the impression there's a fireworks reserve. There's no reserve fund for fireworks for the city. We have a budget here. I'm assuming this is your document, the Greater Othello Chamber of Commerce Budget 2010, that has total income of $50,000 and total expenses of approximately $44,000, which means you would have $6,000. And that includes $12,400 for Sunfair fireworks marketing and advertising. So from a financial point of view, to go from these kind of numbers to tell me you're broke, I got to ask, do you guys get audited? Well, with all due respect, the fire department was there. They were there at the fireworks. They had a truck there, they had a crew there. I agree with that, but they were there. And there was no charge to the chamber for the fire department to be there. So you are getting some help.
Mark, in regards to your question about being broke, we were just put in February, and this is what we were handed. Here it is. Go with it.
I'm not accusing you folks of anything, but this is borderline fraud. I mean, you're getting public funds, and you're telling me they're gone now. With a budget like this, that shows you're in good shape and gave nobody cause to be alarmed that there wouldn't be fireworks this year. So, you know, and then to give us a deadline, I'd like to have somebody or myself review your finances. How does this happen? I mean, it just seems I'm not prepared tonight to give you folks money. And I hope it doesn't come back that the city's too cheap to have fireworks. We're giving you the other thing about the budget is it shows city reimbursement of $10,000. We're actually giving you over $14,000, plus the $2,500 that from the general fund of the fireworks.
And that was new information to us tonight, the $2,500.
So to me, the citizens are supporting this. And I don't know. I guess on the federal level, people are going to government to bail themselves out, and I didn't agree with it then. I'm not sure I agree with it now. Now I'm going to be quiet because the last thing my wife yelled at me as I left the house was, be nice, so.
Well, you know, to speak to you, Mark, as we saw the books, as we stepped into office, we agreed and said, this is ridiculous. We will not operate in the red. And I told him, as chamber president, we will get back in the black or I'm not stepping in. And that was said right up front. I'm not running a business that's in the red. It's not my forte, especially a nonprofit organization. And as we looked at that budget, we said, okay, we're going to have to get brutal and get ourselves into the black. And what does that take? That means that we are not spending money we don't have. We would need to put a down payment to down a deposit to get a fireworks display. We don't have the money. So we said, okay, I know it's a little bit brutal, but that's what life is. You don't buy things you can't afford. And so we're asking either for your support in the fact that we may not have fireworks, and that may be the best decision. To say, you know what, we're going to teach our community a lesson, not a lesson, help reinforce. Yeah. We're going to reinforce, get out of debt. And we're only going to do things we can afford to. And we need to pull back a little bit and not have fireworks and get ourselves back in the black and have a great one next year. You know, that's not all bad either. So we just need to make a decision together, the council and the chamber, as to what we would like to do with the current situation that we have all. We kind of felt the same way of, wow, this is fun. This is where we're at. Okay, we're moving forward. And we decided to look on the bright side, be positive about it, not push blame, not point fingers, and say it is what it is. What? How do we fix this? How do we go forward, and what do we do?
Yeah, a couple comments here. You know, this is our centennial year. I think fireworks should be around town, either at our centennial or the 4th of July. We decided not to have it for centennial days because we figured it was going to happen on the 4th of July. My understanding is this $2,500 comes out of general fund, if that makes sense. We have an extra reserve that still doesn't put us below our $40,000 limit in our 2% money. We've got about $3,900 or something in that figure. I think we should look at this very serious. I think that we can finance the rest of that $6,000 and still not be in jeopardy on our tourism fund money. I think that we could help it out. I know I kind of agree somewhat with Mark. Yeah, I don't know how you got in that position. I can kind of understand why, and I won't go into it. But this is a fellow, and I think this ought to be our special year. I think we ought to make something out. Problems of raising money to do this.
passes that same thing. There is a couple thousand people. For security, there's one group that they talk to and they said what happened. But I think this happens with changing the president every year in the chamber and not everything's passed on. What one of the vice chair presidents used to do the security. They did it for me all the time. And I had a couple members ask me, who's, they didn't come and ask us this. And it's just kind of nice, but they're a group of about 2 months. There's a couple members, I mentioned, it's about 2 months.
Yeah.
I think it's important to see what we can do. We can do this for 1 year until the chamber gets back. Any other comments or questions?
Well, I would say I agree with Mark. Something we need to look at, but, you know, what's happened to the money. But the council in the past has said we need to keep $40,000 in that account. Right now there's $3,900 in there, and I would assume that we kept some of that for emergency. I guess we're talking about fireworks display on the 4th of July. That pretty much comes in emergency. I would, you know, where does the $6,000 come from? Is that a minimum amount you can pay to get your fireworks changed?
We've been told that we haven't had a fireworks display in at least 6,000 dollars. We spent less than that last year. We don't even know for sure.
Sure that it's the chance. It's a big problem.
don't like the last-minute ultimatum. I don't like the implication that we are not funding this. We give them over $14,000 in hotel money, and plus the $2,500 out of the general fund. And I don't like that we're giving this entity more money without further review of their finances to ensure us that it won't happen again. So you can guess how I'm going to vote on this.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same?
Aye.
Aye. For comment? Okay, any more citizen input? All right, do I hear a motion to approve of the agenda? Okay, Gina and Dan, okay. Okay, any more questions on the agenda? Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Passes. Consent agenda. Do we have a motion on that? Mark, second. Okay. Any comments or questions? Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay. Court district request for reimbursement, SR26/Reynolds Water Crossing. Jay, Mark.
Evening. The Port of Othello is requesting reimbursement in the amount of $11,235 for water line work that was done at SR26 and Reynolds Road Crossing. That's where the port was attaching to the city water main going underneath the Highway 26 to their future development. I looked at this real close and I have enclosed my response, but before we go through that, Mike wants to make this request first.
Mike Beardsley, Court Director. Different hat on right now. I elected to not get into the fine points in order to save time and not waste your time, because I think you have all reviewed this subject sufficiently to kind of know what the drift is. But I thought I'd better give you a little bit of background on what happened. Early in 2009, we determined that we were going to put that water line across Highway 26 to be better prepared for a big opportunity if it showed up at the business park. At that time, we thought it was going to cost $100,000. As we got late into the year, we realized that the number was going to be more like $150,000 to do that. I don't know what happened. It's just that all the costs were higher. The construction estimate was higher. It came in higher. And as we stand here today, we're looking at so this cost us a pretty penny. And we feel pretty good about it because we think it benefits the community at large. We always intended to pay for it. And it does bring water across the highway so that we're that much closer to developing the business park. And in the process of doing that, we estimated that we would just connect onto the 12-inch line and continue with a 12-inch line, because again, that was in the best interest of the community. We could probably service the business park with an 8-inch line, but from the very get-go, we always said we're going to do a 12-inch line, and expected to just connect onto the existing 12-inch line without any complications. And in the process of sending out a vacuum machine to locate utilities, because we knew that there would be some problems with Caliche, some problems with where are these utilities. So we elected to send a vector out there and do test work to find these utilities. And we found some rock we didn't know was there. We found that there were some extra utility lines in there that we were a little concerned about what those were. Ends up, I think, they belonged to Quest or whatever, but you know, we got that all resolved. And then they were over there digging around where we were going to tie in to the 12-inch line, and it was completely buried in concrete. So we just couldn't see what was there. Just couldn't go after it. So we get on down the road a little bit, and here it is, Thursday afternoon before construction is going to start on Monday. And the engineer tells me that, you So we elected to just proceed with it because we had to get this done sooner as opposed to later. For one thing, DOT's going to come in here and we're going to cover that whole highway with fresh blacktop. And they were allowing this cut as opposed to boring under. As it ends up, maybe the boring under would have been cheaper because that was going to cost us another $50,000. So we were delighted that DOT was working with us so well and encouraging us to go ahead and do that cut and get this project done. And the reason why the project is so much more expensive than we expected was because there's underground water that we didn't know was there. There was more pollution than we thought was there. There were a number of cave-ins that happened. The project was shut down for 2 days because of the big game. And the weather was just awful. So all of that added to that cost. What we're just saying is that we agreed to do the right thing, put in the 12-inch line. What the city required, in our judgment, was really a cost that should be passed on to other developers in the future who want to connect on. Because after all, the T goes two directions we aren't even going. We're going this way, the T goes that way. And you might argue a little bit about what was there. That's behind us. We don't have to keep on our That's about it. We're guilty of being very late on the project and not having the information. Well, this was in the nature of a change order, certainly. It certainly was a change order for us. We just pretty much had to bump it, and we thought this is a fairly clean item in terms of, the improvements are going that way, we're going this way, and maybe the city knows. So we're just saying, if you can, help us out, we appreciate it. We're looking at so many millions of dollars in that house to get the rest of the water line and the infrastructure and this maintenance, but just seeing, for a bottom line manager like me, it just seemed like this was a cost of a huge charge for us.
Can I ask one more question?
Yeah.
This is not exactly related to that line, but the future of that line, are you considering the tolerance all the way through the project?
We are. We are again because we're being destroyed again. We haven't spent a lot of engineering time on it because we understood at the front that we could probably get by with an 8-inch line, but we didn't want to undersize anything going through there. The business park will probably itself not use that much water, but we don't know that for a fact, so it might be one of those that we should just go with 12-inch, but it's going to open up huge development over there. So there'll be at least one major looping 12-inch line over here, and maybe some 8-inch or 6-inch. And then we'll run a 12-inch line all across our front of our property in Reynolds, so that somebody can put in a 15-inch and get some amount of cost expense.
Any other questions for council?
Yeah. I kind of, you mentioned the lake lines, but I kind of left that out. I know we just recently passed a interstate contract on the sewer. How would that work? If you see this, would it be that we have 1,000 for just the additional valve, or?
Can I just back up just a little bit here and make this probably a little more clear? The area down there did have a T. We have a service to the west, a service to the north, and then to the east was a stub out that was supposed to go under Reynolds Road and continue east. Once we determined through field verification, because there was no as-built, that there was no option of going south, that changed the whole game. But that, we were also asked if we could just flip the T and turn it south, or that takes away development to the east. So the only logical solution here, and the only one that did work, would be to put in a cross and three valves. Had this been of a newer configuration and not lead and swedge, then they wouldn't be replacing it. A development to the east could have attached to the stub off of the T, not disturbed the valves, and we would have still had a T and two valves. On a T, you want two valves. On a cross, you want three valves. This is so you can shut down everything. You don't require a valve on each level. So this required a cross and valves. Had we went to the east, like I was saying, there would have been no cross. As far as that's what drove the extra dollars for installation, as I see it. As far as the late comer fee goes, there was really nothing done to require a late comer fee. This was all necessary to make the connection across the highway. As with any developer that will do, if there is no as-built in a certain portion of the town, you always field verify. That happens quite often. You have to field verify to know exactly what's in the ground.
Did this line dead end there?
No. It came from well 5 at the west to that corner where the T was installed. Then it went north up to well 4. It dead ended on the stub to the east.
Okay, which one's well 5?
Well, 5 is at the end of what would be 7th Avenue at Highway 26.
Yeah, I'm a little confused with the stub, the house.
had the T been laid in there differently at a different time during construction and it stuck to the saddle, they would have not had to replace the valves if they just attached and kept going. But that's not how the T was configured. The T was not configured to go saddle, it was configured to go east.
So it came up 26 and turned there and then goes north?
Yes.
Makes a loop there?
Yes.
So to me, that's a 90 degree. I don't see where the T comes in.
Okay, there was a T stubbed out also to the east, cross under, keep going. We only had two portions of that T.
Oh, okay. So the T that came in from the west,
yep,
connected to the north and stubbed out to the east.
Yes.
That was a T. How come you just can't, what is stubbed out to the east, put 6 feet of pipe on there with a T on it facing to the south?
You could do that. That wasn't even close to being proposed, and it's probably not the best practice because you're there at an intersection, and what you're doing at that point in time is misaligning valve clusters, and you're adding more equipment on the ground that you do not need. If you're going to be going on all four directions, you put a cross in with three valves, and then you continue on. We have areas in town that are like that. We've dug up areas that were valve clusters that make no sense. And us, when we're doing our work, we have to go in, dig it up, correct it, make it right. And that's what we don't want to do in newer developments, is start creating different clusters that don't make any sense anymore.
Plus, if you have an old thrust block and the whole works, that's what you run into out there. When you say you run into concrete, that was probably a thrust block to keep that from blowing out at that corner.
It wasn't a thrust block.
And every time that you come into a lane like that, that's why you do that. So it doesn't
matter. And as to the 12-inch line, they are putting it in, but I remember during the process of looking at what does go under the highway, being an industrial park, it wasn't so much as consumption of water on a daily basis. It's more of a fire flow issue for a 12-inch line. And that has not been determined if the 12 is going to be oversized or not.
Was it PVC pipe?
PVC.
So what's the sludge and stuff? What's that about?
Lead and sledge is a type of fitting that is put, that was used years ago. So it's a lead and sledge fitting. So once you disturb it, you cannot.
Lead on PVC?
No, there was a C line up there. The new line is PVC. So all that had to be eliminated. It's not to take it apart and put it back together and rearrange your issue. It's you cut it out, you put it across, and you continue.
You may have mentioned question
size on size, a 12-inch to a 12-inch. We don't like to bore those. It's not the correct way to be doing things. So that kind of takes that out of the picture. So you get back to the cross again and replace the cross and valves.
Well, this is kind of my suggestion. This, I heard both sides of this, and I don't know how Mike thinks, what I think about change orders and whatnot, but I think in the long run, what they did was the right thing to do. Maybe it was a short decision. Maybe it was maybe not quite right on both sides of us. But I think for the future of the project and everything, and not to create any hard feelings and be partners in this thing, I think this $11,000 is pretty cheap because what the city's going to have to put into that for future coming down the road. If they're going to go with a 12-inch pipe the rest of the way, I'm not saying this out loud, but I will. Normally, we would probably pick up the additional amount of the pipe. If you require 12-inch, and we think you need a 16, or you use an 8, and we check out the difference. So if they're going to go ahead and put, be sure that's on the record, that he's going to put a 12-inch pipe in there, that, I think we've got cheap insurance for using that $11,000 and not have to upsize a pipe from 8 to 12. So I'm just looking down the future a little bit.
Just to be clear on a 12-inch pipe in an industrial or commercial area, that could be the requirement for fire flows for what goes in there. Usually in a residential is where we see the upsizing costs, where we go from an 8 to a 10 or such, because it's not required. We're trying to get that for beyond. But this development very well could require a 12-inch, and then therefore an upsize would not be the thing to do, an upsize cost. It depends. We don't know what's going in there yet.
Any more questions about council?
I do agree with Mr. Beardsley on that future developers should pay for this. I think all future developers of the Portland should pay for it. And that whatever you have to do to carry it, that's what it was put in for, to support those people across the highway that are going to build on Portland. And I don't have any problem with them paying for that, along with the rest of the water lines. I don't believe the citizens of Othello that this added any value to us, and when and if that port starts getting developed, then they can help share in the cost, and this is just one of them.
Any other comments? If that's the council's decision, that's up to you. You can make a motion and see what happens.
I'd like to make a motion to table it and move it to our workshop to discuss it more.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Any more discussion?
Yes. I'm going to vote no on tabling it.
Excuse me, Mayor.
Under the rules, once there's a second to the tabling motion, there is no discussion before it works.
Oh, okay. No discussion? Okay. Okay, I guess all in favor of tabling it and moving it to our next workshop, which is in 2 weeks. Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same?
Aye.
Okay, we'll move to the next workshop. Okay, well, number 6, rehabilitation project update. Jay?
Okay, we've been going over this for quite some time, and just to refresh a little bit, we did receive a grant for $312,000 from CDBG for the rehabilitation of Well 6. Right now, our biggest holdup at this time was ecology. There were some questions as to whether we could keep the screen in the bottom of the hole and perform the work that we wanted done. We talked with ecology, we met with them, and no, that screen cannot remain. The rest of our design is fine, and what we're being required to do right now is make an attempt to pull the screen out of the bottom of the hole. And so all of the design documents, bid documents are ready. We're going to go out to bid and make an attempt to pull this screen when the job is bid. If this screen cannot be pulled with an honest attempt, ecology is not going to hold us up. They said they could be there 24, 48 hours and issue a variance to leave the screen in the hole. So I just kind of wanted to update everybody where we're at. We're looking at anticipated bid opening date of April 29th and the construction completion by May 10th.
Jay, this $312,000, that covers trying to pull the screen out also?
It should in within the bid documents and engineer's estimates, yes.
Any other questions by council? Okay, there's no action on this one. It's just information for us. Okay, extension of water agreement. Don Gentry, Jay.
Back in 2008, Mr. Don Gentry approached council and asked if the city would supply water to proposed development outside the city limits. On July 14th of 2008, we did enter into that agreement with Mr. Gentry to supply water to this proposed development. Requests of this sort have a 2-year deadline to be constructed and actually be using the water. That comes up July 14th of 2010, and Mr. Gentry has indicated to us that he's not ready to have it completed by then. Design has been done, reviewed by the city, and I think we came to a conclusion on what we're going to be doing. And Mr. Gentry has indicated that construction won't be complete by then, so he's asking for a 1-year extension to this original request. Looking at his request, he's having 30 lots, 750 gallons a minute for each lot. That's a 22,500 gallon per minute day. I think the original request was for 25,000 gallons per day. And that basically works out to 15.6 gallons a minute. No real impact to the city at this time. His first 9 lots are going to go through, and they're just going to, and I think those are going to come up to about 4.6 gallons per minute. And I don't know if Mr. Gentry wants to speak to this request or not, but that's where we're at if you have any questions for us.
Donna, do you want to address this, or?
Okay.
When I came before the council in July of 2008, had not purchased the land because there was no point in doing so unless I could get city water. And once the city granted me water, I went about the process of purchasing the land. And I didn't know at the time that I was dealing with a knucklehead or a seller. And it took me a year to get the T's crossed and the I's dotted. This 1 year that I lost, even before I purchased the land, when I realized that it was actually going to happen, I went about the process of working with the engineers and laying out the first 9 lots, the phase one, and developing the water line. And I have been working diligently with Columbia Northwest Engineering. They've been very good. I have the project approved through the Adams County Planning Board. I have it approved through the county commissioners. I have worked with the city. We are this close to having everything done as far as the final drawings and everything approved after many, many changes back and forth. And so I would say that I'm 75% of the way there, but the problem is that I used up a year purchasing it, and all I'm asking for is contrary to the people that the items before, this item was, I'm not asking you for any money. I'm basically asking you for something that you have plenty of, and that is some time. With allowing me to be able to finish this project and get the water is going to actually benefit the city, because you're going to have new revenues, a new source of revenue when you start selling the water to these people. So I'm not asking you for anything that's going to cost you anything. I'm asking you for an extension of time so that I can finish my project. Just so you know where I'm at, I'm about $150,000 into this project. And it would be devastating if you just, for no reason whatsoever, just because you wanted to be mean, said no. And basically that's, I'm throwing myself on your mercy. I've got about 3 months left in the 2 years, and you know, if I went hell bent for leather, I could probably get a spigot on the other side of the road to turn the water on. You know, I mean, I could do it, but that's silly. That's a silly way to do it, when all I'm asking you for is just some time to finish the project, which I lost in the beginning because I didn't get it purchased in time. And that's the long and the short of it. It's pretty simple. Any questions for me?
So, Jay, this project then would be to city specs, the water and all that?
Yes, we've been through the plans and everything else, and he's correct. He's not asking for the money yet. There will be.
Yeah. Thank you.
The upsize request.
Yeah, but the upsize request is your request, not mine.
That's not. There is some questions as far as 2 weeks ago in there. It's time to treat the
the new council members, whenever projects are built outside of the city, we get 1.5 times our rate on our water, so you know, and that's how that works.
And you're looking at several thousand dollars a month in revenue once this comes out.
Any other questions for Don or Jay in council?
I have some comments.
Okay, Mark.
Hypothetically, you did cost us money in that we allocate so much water to outside the city, and we give people a 2-year window to tie into that and start giving us revenue. Mm-hmm. And so possibly other people have not came to us and asked for water out to the county because it's tied up with, I think about that time there was 3 different developments, the golf course and yours and one out on 26. Mm-hmm. So that, my intent was that window of opportunity, we give 2 years to the developer to start getting us revenue coming in, or we'll take that water and make it available to another developer. The second part of this is I just want to remind people, things have changed. My attitude has changed, and that the Guama organization representative, Paul Stoker, when Guama has received literally millions of dollars in government money to study the water around here, the aquifers and that, Paul Stoker is making presentations and telling people that Othello will be out of water in 10 years. So I'm not so sure, given this information, that I would be so much in favor of allocating water outside the city. Because if Othello doesn't have water in 10 years and these plants shut down, none of this is going to matter anyway. So things have changed. The two-year window is up. To me, it's a tough decision. People have to understand that we allocate water, there's a value to that. And you're not willing to come back and pay us money now for an extension or do an upgrade on your own cost. You just want an extension gratis, and there's value to that. And maybe the citizens of Othello should participate in that benefit. And maybe we should start charging for extensions because there's potentially lost opportunities. So to me, it's not just cut and dry what you do here.
Tim, I got a comment, man. Well, I'm sure that Don and his group have done all they can do to make this thing happen. I don't see where there's a problem at all of giving an extension another year. Due to the economy the way it is, financing, I'm surprised that you're still surviving and still able to look forward and say, yeah, I'm still going to do that project. I think that we ought to give him a reserve of another year at least. And I don't think we probably should extend it other than that unless you come back a year from now and want it again. But I think that we got to look at this situation. Everybody's in trouble. Construction business is one of the worst I've seen in probably 40 years, and I've been around about that long in the construction business, maybe a little longer. I've seen a lot of ups and downs, but I've never seen anything as bad as it is right now. And I think that it's a great deal to go ahead and try to make a project happen. And I think that you guys should be commended instead of condemned for what you're trying to do and try to make Othello grow. One more thing, this water, yeah, we're going to run out of water one of these days. All of us are. I just seen a comment from Seattle area. They said that their water, they're going to have for 40 more years without any problem. One of the reasons is the difference in how people use their water. The amount of water each family uses today is 30% less than it was less than 10 years ago. And I can back up that with facts if I have to. This issue of we're going to run out of water, yeah, we may do that. Guama says, yeah, that's a possibility. But I'll guarantee you, before Othello runs out of water, there's going to be a lot of farmers out of here, around here, they're going to be out of water first before your municipalities are. And if you don't expand outside of the city limits with water, what good is that extra water anyway? Because eventually that's where your city is going to grow to. You can't contain that water in a square mile and use it all. Anyway,
several projects to get held up for the city. With that, I'm going to make the motion that we approve the annual extension. I'll second it.
Okay, first and second, any more discussion? Mark?
Giving you the water is probably the right thing to do, and I'm sure council will approve it tonight, but I'm going to vote no, just to inspire you, hopefully, and let you know that it's not a forever thing, and that when we give water rights, the window, our expectation is that we will eventually get revenue from that.
The process of developing a piece of property like I'm trying to develop is not very cut and dried. There's a lot of hoops to jump through, a lot of people to talk to, a lot of different problems that you have to overcome. And I have thus far overcome all of the problems without too much difficulty. But the one thing that I have found more than anything is it takes a lot of time to do it, because when you redraw drawings to fit the desires of the city and the county, and you send it back to the engineers, and they keep it for a month, and then they finally send it back, and then your engineers have it for another month or a month and a half, and then you go back and forth. The clock is ticking. And it is a no fault of mine that it comes out this way. It's just that 2 years is almost too small of a window. Everything has to go perfect. It has to fall in line absolutely in a perfect time, or else you get into trouble. And so that's basically where we're at. It was the year that I used up purchasing the land is what I'm trying to reclaim at this point.
But just keep in mind, you initiated the time frame, not the city.
No. The 2 years is mandated.
Well, Don, we appreciate you being willing to develop and help our community to grow. We have a first and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same. Okay. Motion accepted. Catholic Charities tax request. Mike?
Good evening. Good evening, Mayor and Council. I have before you. It could look a little confusing at times, but with the help of our city attorney, I finally got some clarification on this thing. We got a letter from the letter was from the Othello Housing Associates. It was written on Housing Authority letterhead, and so that's what made it very confusing. Plus, they contracted with Alan Hanks, who is the director of the Housing Authority. They contracted with him to make this happen. And it made it very, very, very confusing. So I'm just going to start out by trying to clarify it. There are two Othello Housings. One is the Othello Housing Associates, which is whose managing partner is Catholic Housing Services of Eastern Washington. This is a nonprofit organization. Then there is the Othello Housing Authority, which is funded by the federal government, by HUD. And so they're very different organizations. In 2003, we entered into an agreement with Othello Housing Associates. This is the one that's run by the Catholic Charities. In that agreement, they volunteered to make contributions in lieu of taxes to the city as a gesture of goodwill. When a nonprofit like this buys property in a city for the way they were going to use it, they are not required to pay property taxes. So it's easy for a city to want to say, no thanks, you know, we don't want to sell that, you know, or approve that. So this was a goodwill gesture to the city. And that is paid yearly, and I don't think there's any end on it. I don't think that it was written with any end to it. Okay, and then the Othello Housing Authority pays what we call a pilot. It's a payment in lieu of taxes. And the federal government agreed to pay cities that had these HUD programs that didn't have to pay property taxes. The federal government agreed to make a payment in lieu of taxes to help mitigate the loss of the property taxes. Okay. When Mr. Hanks sent us the letter, he got confused as to what he was doing. Because the contribution in lieu of taxes is not a payment in lieu of taxes. It was a gesture of goodwill. It is a contribution. And so when he wrote the letter to the city, he referred to the pilot program. So that was in error. All right. And so went through the letter. What they asked for is because the population of this Othello Housing Associates development, when they come in there, they have to be low income to get in there, and then of course the development doesn't have to pay property taxes. But the state of Washington, and they can stay in there even as their income rises, they can stay in there in that housing. But as their income rises and they get over a certain percentage, the state of Washington requires them to pay property taxes on the amount that is over. And so they've fallen into that category. So in 2009, they paid, $11,365.64 in property taxes. And because they paid that much in property taxes, Mr. Hanks said because they paid that they shouldn't have to pay us the $3,500 on top of that. And as I got to looking at this, there was a little wrinkle in this. I included a graph in there that shows how property taxes are distributed. And this property taxes that they receive, of course, goes to the county, and the county distributes it. The city's share of that $11,365 is 22.85%, which amounts to, I can't remember, I have a number in here. It was $2,597.04. So the city, in fact, when all is said and done, did not get the $3,500. Even though they paid a lot of property tax, the city didn't get the $3,500. And that's the bottom line. And so my recommendation is if we want to hold to the $3,500, that we net the amount that we did get against the $3,500 and require them to pay the difference, which I believe is $900 and some. I think I wrote it in here someplace. Yeah, $902.96 in that case. And that in as the years go by, that if their property taxes increase and the amount that we get is at $3,500 or more, then they would not have to pay us anything at all. That was a suggestion. I should have at least had another option in here, and I apologize for not that giving you one option. The other option is not to do anything, and they would continue to pay us the $3,500, and we would also get a share of the property taxes. That's the second option. Are there any questions? Is everybody totally confused? Or?
Questions from council?
One option, like you just said, to continue to collect the $3,500, and that, but we still get the $2,000 or whatever our share of what they pay in.
That is an option.
And then the other one was the $3,500 minus what our share out of the
right,
the pie that was split up.
Right.
And then they pay the difference.
They pay the difference to make it up to the $3,500.
Do believe they should continue to pay that $3,500
I mean, they're still getting all the services. They're getting the police, they're getting the fire. They're receiving all the services that the city supplies for that money.
That's correct.
They need to maintain that, at least that $35 million that we agreed to.
This is a tough one. I was, when I talked to Eamon about it, I told him it was like a college business case where economically you can look at it one way and ethically and morally you can look at it another way, and it's an interesting scenario that's put together. And I don't know that the answer readily presents itself. Because in theory, if you take it the $3,500 as a given and they're paying additional taxes, that implies that people have the income to pay that tax, and so maybe they should. On the other hand, where we support housing and homes for the lower to mid income, we don't want to do anything to burden that. So I don't have an answer, but I agree the $3,500 should be a minimum. And these. When places take off the tax roll, it's nice to get some kind of payment in lieu of taxes to help support, because I mean that probably doesn't cover a tenth of the services that they get out there from the city.
Comments, thoughts? Want to wait? Think about this a little bit longer?
This is one I would make a motion to table to our workshop.
Okay. Second. A second? Okay. I guess there's no discussion, right? Okay. All right. I guess we'll see that in April.
We have to vote on it.
No, there's no vote, is there?
Yeah.
Well, there is a vote. Okay. Yeah,
it's
getting confusing all the different ways we're doing this all of a sudden. Okay. There's just no more discussion. Is that what it is? All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed the same. Okay. What was that? So Dan, you seconded?
Hey, Eamon, as an administrative point, he has in this letter, if we don't say anything within 10 days, it assumes we're in agreement. Have we addressed that or will address that?
We can now that you made a motion to extend. We can let them know. We will let them.
Yeah. Okay. Resolution authorized the city park and city right-of-way for Othello Centennial Event. Ken.
Taylor.
Well, as you know, we're working on this centennial project here, trying to get everything done, our I's dotted, our T's crossed, and all that stuff that everybody says. The date is growing closer and closer, and we still got some paperwork to get cleared through the city so that we can continue with what our plans are. So I'm just going to kind of read this and then I'll go into a little more detail. The Centennial Committee has scheduled this year's historical event on Saturday, May 22nd and Sunday, May 23rd. Most of our events will focus in and around Pioneer Park. Saturday's events will start off with a community breakfast and the parade will begin at 10 a.m. We're having a flag raising in Pioneer Park and the vendors will also open at 10 a.m. We will have music and entertainment scheduled for both days. Kids games, the Othello Community Museum and the Othello Hotel will be open with special events planned. We'll have music Saturday evening until approximately 9 p.m. On Sunday, we will start out with a community breakfast, flag raising, and the opening ceremony. The Ministerial Association will provide a community worship service, and this will probably be held at the Othello High School football field. We may change that to the park, but anyway, we will have that. And then back at the Pioneer Park, we'll have vendors and special guests and introductions. The Centennial Scholarship Award will be awarded that day, a historical program, a reincorporation of the ceremony and music and entertainment and a community barbecue. And maybe we will have our delegates from our sister city also for that two-day event. What we're requesting is portions of 3rd Street, 3rd Avenue, 4th Avenue, and Main Street adjacent to Pioneer Park be closed for the event. We want to utilize the streets for vendors and place the stage on the portion of Main Street north of Lake Park. I have talked to several of the business owners adjacent to these streets, and they support the closure of these streets. Besides the need for more area, we believe it will be safer to have these streets closed. That way we won't have to deal with people and kids running across the street. The resolution, I think, probably take care of that. What you're looking at here, I have to figure out how to do this without getting Eamon here or somebody. Anyway, this is Main Street. This is Pioneer Park here. This is 4th Street, and this is 3rd Street. What I want to do is close this off right here, close it off right there, close it off right here, close it off right here. The idea is this traffic will have to be diverted and go north and up and around and back through. So this would continue on as a main through here. Reason being, couple reasons. We want to put the stage right in this area. About where the left turn lane is will be where the stage sets. Behind that there will be a van, so that gives us reflection back for the music and everything. I know we got a couple businesses right behind that. And this is Gentry Incorporated, I'll put it that way. We want to leave that sidewalk open. We will also leave an area open there, but it's closed to traffic. So you will have access to your building as far as traffic or foot traffic is concerned. I have a little problem here with the tire shop, and what I'm looking at there is maybe close a little section here so they can at least turn the corner and get in there. It may be a wrong way to go into a business. We'll have to get the police department kind of say, whoops, that's a one-way street for 2 days. But anyway, that's the proposal, what I've got in mind. I'm going to close this off, and we may have a little problem with this driveway right here too, but anyway, we'll work on those details. But a couple reasons here. You know, we're going to close Main Street, portions of it, for this new project we got going down Main Street. Maybe this would be a good trial run, how it works for a day or two. But anyway, that's kind of my thought. I've talked to the police department, and I'll talk to the fire department a little bit more. We're going to leave this alleyway so we can have access through here if we have an emergency, whatever. And I think we can set our vendors up and down the street here and here, so that so if we need to have access, we can do that. But we only want it as an emergency, not any through traffic through that area. I haven't drawn out everything as far as how we're going to place everything in the park, but I think our information center will be about there, and we'll probably have Public Works work on some getting our benches and everything down around in this area. We'll probably have our area in here for our barbecue, put our barbecues back here in the back. And we're also going to use this lot, which is the city's, and we're going to do a little work on that. We've got to get in there with Public Works and do a little checking there, see what we got underground. We're going to put some hitching posts up in this area for that modern day of 1910, when most everything was horse-drawn or you rode a horse into town, and that's what's going to happen in that parking lot. We're also going to have a wagon drawn by horses come down that street, on down and go to the museum, continue on down to the old hotel, and that'll be kind of a our taxi, shall we say. Anyway, that's kind of what we've got planned. I guess, any more questions, anything you want to ask me, or Debbie will ask them for you.
What are the hours you're looking at, actually shutting down Main Street?
Probably what we'll do, and I've got to get with the police department on this, we will actually shut down those streets Saturday morning through Sunday night, about probably 6:30 Sunday night. My thought is possibly Friday night we'll take half of the street out. Maybe we can leave one lane open for a little while Friday night, because we want to set this stage up Friday night. But I don't want to totally close the street off, but I've got to get with the police department so we can kind of work out something on that detail there. Or maybe we'll cut the whole thing off Friday night. I don't know yet. I think that might be the best way to go, say 6 o'clock Friday night, we just shut the thing down and be done with it. And I see a yes vote back in the back there, so that may be the proposal I'll give the police department. So 6 o'clock Friday night till 6 o'clock Sunday night would be basic on the closing that street. Same way with the other two streets.
Don?
Let's see.
For a price, I bet you could.
Got your checkbook out?
Now, this is Steve at Evergreen.
2 weeks.
You want to sponsor it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I've already talked to them before bringing it up.
I said, make sure you talk to the management there. So they know.
Yeah. They're aware of it. So.
Okay.
We just got to give it time so we get it here. And then what we may do is, we'll, if we don't get everything moved, we'll at least pull that out and bring it into this parking lot for until Monday morning or whatever. But anyway, we'll have the street cleared there so that we can get it opened up.
Any questions?
I just have real concerns about. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, for Ken.
Keeping that closed down for so long, especially at night. That's unprecedented to shut down Main Street for that kind of time.
Well, I've seen a lot of towns around the areas that's done this same thing, and they shut down both ends of town to make an event happen like this. And if we can't do it just for once every 100 years, well, I think we better look at them.
I'm sure we've got a lot of flashing type barriers and stuff like that, lights on them, so.
Yeah, but we do need to spend some more time with Councilmember Kaler, Public Works, and Police Department, and iron out some of this stuff.
Any more questions for Ken?
I move to approve the resolution of authorizing the use of the city property in the streets of Othello.
I second.
Scheduled May 22nd, 23rd.
Second.
Okay. Any more discussion? Questions? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay.
I have one more thing here that I'd like to do. Is we have a new council member. I don't think you've got a new pen yet.
Okay, unfinished business. Anybody have any unfinished business? Mark?
You're calling me a lot tonight.
Okay.
Status on the well that I got a call about, the shaft is broken. I haven't heard since.
Yeah. It's, you'll have to get a full report on it the next council meeting, actually. But the shaft's been full. There's one of two theories that are being investigated by our engineering company. Basically, the threads came undone, and the last 20-foot section has dropped down into the hole. The rest of it has been pulled. The remaining shafts, 20-foot sections that were pulled,
they were loose also. The theory is either A, contractor tightened them properly when it was reinstalled 3 years ago, and remember we paid $74,000 at that time, or two, it had what's called sympathetic resonation vibration, which could have helped unscrew them. And the engineers are currently evaluating both those options, and they'll be here on the 5th to reflect.
Aren't the impellers the last 20 feet? We lose the impellers?
Yes. They're down the bottom of that.
Can they get them?
They are currently putting together a tool to try to retrieve them.
Any other unfinished business?
Did that help, Mark?
I'm sorry. I'm just sorry I asked.
I got a question for him. When are they going to do the bricks out front?
This week.
I think they're going to, yeah, they're supposed to get started on them toward the end of the month here. But they will be hopefully installed by, I would guess, by 1st of May, anyway. Somewhere in that, at least before our centennial, I'll put it that way.
This week.
And so bricks are here, they've all been checked over and redone. We had a few of them that needed to be redone, so we got that taken care of, thanks to Debbie. And Public Works is on board what needs to be done. The electrical is out there. They're going to put the heating pad underneath it and whatnot. So.
Public Works finished the shooting range today, and we'll start the brick project tomorrow.
Any other unfinished business? New business?
This is clock's wrong, yes.
Mark?
I had a thought while we were talking about the tea and the pipes and everything, and Amy, maybe your staff could discuss it and talk to council, but I thought it might be helpful if we had some kind of permanent installation of a whiteboard in here, either behind the screens or something, so we could go and draw things or write things or...
Actually, we have an overhead projector that will allow us to write on it, and as we write, it'll show on the screen. Uh-huh. We didn't get it set up tonight. It'll do exactly the same. We do have a whiteboard out in the hall, but it's not permanent.
So you're beyond the whiteboard then?
We have that ability.
Okay. Technology. Wow.
Yeah. Any other new business? Any mayor's announcements? The Sandhill Crane Festival is this weekend, Friday through Sunday. Beautification Committee has invited the Chamber members to a luncheon this Wednesday at the Senior Center to discuss Main Street beautification. Is that what time?
Noon. It's a luncheon.
It's going to be at 12 o'clock. Okay. So if there's any council members, you'd be invited too. You want to come? As this is our centennial year, City Hall will be decorated with red, white, and blue bunting funded by the Centennial Committee. Number four is no meeting next Monday. It's our 5th Monday of March, so everybody knows there's no meeting. At our workshop on April 5th, we will have about 3 different types of computers for you to select from. That's the ones for the council members to take home and stuff. It would be nice if we all agree on the same one, or if you choose the one you want. Oh, we get to choose the one we want? Really, we get to choose the one we want, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. After that, nothing else?
Wait. That April 5th reminded me, that's the day that the president of WSU will be here. So just FYI for everybody that I think he's from 5:30 to 6:30, then discussion until 7:30. We thought we could get here by 7, so.
Is that the junior high?
I think so.
Junior high, I believe.
McFarland. So I think it would be good to have some council representation there. But as far as I know, he's still on for April 5th.
Okay.
Reminder on that.
Okay, this meeting's adjourned.